Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 16. In this chapter, we have instructions concerning three of the annual feasts that all men in Israel were to attend. We also have instructions concerning the appointment of judges and officers to carry out justice throughout the land. Let's begin by reading the first 17 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat which you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. But the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, at the time you came out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God chooses. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And on the 7th day there shall be a sacred assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. You shall count 7 weeks for yourself. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with a tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your towns. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you surely rejoice. 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 16, with some background notes. There were 7 feasts in the Hebrew calendar that were celebrated annually in Israel. All 7 of these feasts are listed in Leviticus chapter 23 and also in Numbers chapters 28 and 29. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 16, not all 7 feasts are mentioned because the emphasis here is on the command for Israel to come up to Jerusalem 3 times a year to celebrate certain feasts. Verse 16, once again, 3 times a year all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Now the phrase, in the place which God chooses, is used 6 times in this chapter. Verse 2, verse 6, verse 7, verse 11, verse 15, and verse 16. Remember, at this time, the children of Israel are still on the plains of Moab, and they have been celebrating the annual feast in the wilderness for 40 years. When they would cross the Jordan and come into the land, the Lord would choose Jerusalem as the central sanctuary. Here is where the feasts would then be celebrated. We see here in verse 16 that only the males would be required to go up to Jerusalem. Now, the women were not forbidden to go. In fact, families were encouraged to go, as we see in verses 11 and 14. Let me just read those verses again. Verse 11, "You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide." And verse 14, "And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates or towns." So we see that while the males were required to go up three times a year, it wasn't that the wives and the females were forbidden. In fact, they are encouraged. All are encouraged to go up to the feast. But it was required of the males three times a year. Remember when the Lord Jesus as a boy went up to Jerusalem at the time of the Passover? It was with the whole family, Luke chapter 2. And remember how the crowds were always in Jerusalem at the time of the feast. The Jewish people would come to Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. And not just the men, but the whole family. All the congregation and all the covenant community would come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast. So everyone was allowed to go up to Jerusalem at the time of the feast, and they were encouraged to do so. But all the males were commanded to go up to Jerusalem three times a year. That brings us then to our doctrinal teaching points for Deuteronomy chapter 16. Doctrinal point number one, under the law, Israel celebrated yearly feasts. Under the law, Israel celebrated yearly feasts. Now the question might be asked at this point, why were the men of Israel only required to go up to Jerusalem three times a year? Why not seven times for all seven feasts? Several answers could be given here. Number one, God is gracious. Going up to Jerusalem took time and money. The whole family could come up to Jerusalem for all the feasts if they had the means. But God in his grace only required the males to come and only three times in the year. Number two, these three feasts included sacrificial meals that the people would participate in at the tabernacle and now the temple. And number three, by coming up to Jerusalem for these three feasts, they would actually be there for five feasts. Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread went together. And the Feast of First Fruits came 2 days after Passover during the week of Unleavened Bread. So that would make five feasts altogether in the three visits. And if they came up to Jerusalem 2 weeks early for the Feast of Tabernacles, they would also be there for the other two feasts, namely the Feast of Trumpets and Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, because these feasts were in the same month as the Feast of Tabernacles. So it was possible to get all seven feasts in with only three visits. Passover, verses 1 and 2, was the feast where the children of Israel remembered their redemption out of Egypt. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, verses 3 through 8, was a week-long feast that followed Passover. It emphasized Israel's separation to the Lord and separation from evil, which was symbolized by leaven. Leaven was not to be in their diet or homes during this week-long feast. The Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, verses 9 through 12, was a joyous time when they celebrated the completion of the harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, not booze, but booths, or booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, verses 13 through 17, was a week-long feast where Israel remembered how God took care of them for 40 years in the wilderness. Under the law, Israel celebrated yearly feasts. Doctrinal point number two. Under the law, Israel appointed godly leaders. Under the law, Israel appointed godly leaders. Verses 18 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 16, beginning now with verse 18. You shall appoint judges and officers in all your gates or towns which the Lord your God gives you, according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now in these verses, the principle of justice is stressed. Israel was to appoint judges and officers in all their towns. The officers here would be essentially police officers to carry out the judges' decisions. So we see all three branches of government here, don't we? Legislative, executive, and judicial. God was the perfect legislating authority because he made the laws. But now the people were to appoint judges and officers to enforce the law and ensure that justice was maintained. We see in verse 19 that justice was not to be distorted by showing partiality towards special people, like the rich and famous, and no bribes were to be taken. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Now, we might think that this command concerning bribes would be so obvious that it wouldn't have to be said. But remember, this is before any Judeo-Christian tradition that's intrinsic to our culture. And even now, in many Middle Eastern cultures, bribes are more of the norm and not considered unjust or immoral. But Israel was to be different as God's people. Under the law, Israel appointed godly leaders. And that brings us now to our practical application for Deuteronomy chapter 16. Remember, there are limits to religious freedom. Remember, there are limits to religious freedom. Verses 21 and 22. You shall not plant for yourself any tree as an Asherah or as a wooden image near the altar which you build for yourself to the Lord your God. You shall not set up a sacred pillar which the Lord your God hates. There was no freedom of religion in Israel. In fact, we see in these verses that Asherah trees or poles or any other kind of foreign religious cult objects were not to be tolerated in Israel. The appointed judges and officers, verse 18, were to treat any religious departure from God's law as illegal and immoral. So there was no freedom of religion in Israel. Well, what about us today? We are not a theocracy like Israel was. We cannot force people to become Christians. And under our government, no one can force us to denounce Christianity. So we can be very thankful for the freedom of religion that we enjoy. But remember, there are limits to religious freedom. The law cannot allow religious cults to practice abuse of children or human sacrifice, for example, to exist in the name of freedom of religion. No. Now, these examples are extremes, of course. Usually the lines are not so clearly drawn, but remember, there are limits to religious freedom.